from the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds, and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. And, of course, this is the first show of 2015, and I would like to do my best to help all of you learn some very basic tips that you might be able to employ to make this year the best year ever. And it's based upon what physicists and cosmologists call the holographic universe theory. It's about looking at the universe as being something beyond just what meets the eye, and how that you might be able to tap into that and change it. And before we get into that, you know, it's interesting that the last hour of the show, I played for you a, I guess you could call it a composition, that one guy made from taking all of these kind of scary sounds from booms and echoes and other, you know, weird kind of vibrations that we don't understand that have been heard around the world. And when you combine them, they sound kind of like something from the War of the Worlds soundtrack, like something dark and bad and foreboding is happening. But in having this conversation, I was talking to Sam, and he was saying, well, along similar lines, another guy, he took something he saw in nature and also turned it into music. Would you like to explain what you discovered here, Sam?
Why, thank you, sir. Yeah, it was, you know, I think the actual video was probably a couple years old, and it was making the rounds again. I had, you know, you can't keep up on everything, and it had gotten repassed around through people and stuff, and it went viral again. It was a photo a guy had taken of a bunch of crows on a power line. There was five power lines and a bunch of crows in staggered formation, just chilling, you know, like as birds are wont to do. And he took a picture of it, and being that he was a musical composer, went home and actually wrote the music as if the birds were notes on a treble clef scale, you know, like you're looking at sheet music on a piano or something. And he made, it actually made a song, you know. So this is probably a little bit more embellished than the actual notes. But this, he's got the notes where they would appear, and the crows are on the line. And this is what it sounds like. It's kind of neat. Nature talking to us subliminally, perhaps. I don't know. I don't think that the birds had, like, the synthesizer, like, no, but the little, the choral bells part, you know, synced up to where these birds were sitting on a wire. And one
and
has
what
to...
What a cool way of pretty much visualizing that, you know, maybe you can be directly inspired by life to create art, huh?
Mm-hmm. If you can dream it, you can be it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or as Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it.
That's what I was trying to think of. I believe I can fly. I don't know.
Well, that's very cool. And again, it gives us a nice starting point for the conversation this hour, which can get very, very deep and weird and complex. And I'll give you an example of that. But the first thing we have to do is sort of clarify the terminology here, because most people don't understand exactly what the difference is between holograph and hologram. And actually, the difference is that a holograph or holographic is the technology which is used to produce the hologram. So a hologram is essentially just a three-dimensional image in space, and it's holographic technology that creates that. And so as we have this conversation, maybe I'll slip up and misuse a word here or there, but you get the idea. And, of course, I was watching recently this little video on YouTube. In fact, I think I'll post it at speakingofstrange.com, showing a very simple technique that you can use to create a hologram with your cell phone. And this seems exactly like a project that you would love to do, Sam. Pretty much, I'll try to explain this as visually as possible. What you do is you find an animation, and there are a bunch of different animations that are available out there that you can download to your telephone, and it essentially loops this animation over and over on your phone. And you lay your phone down flat on a table, for example, and one type of animation that you might have that's playing over and over on the phone is an animation of something like a bird flying, but it is given from four different perspectives. So that is to say, on one side of the phone, you may have the animation of the bird flying coming toward you. And then across from that, you would have an animation of the same bird going away from you. And then you would have another animation of the right side of the bird and another animation of the left side of the bird. So you have these four different views of the bird all flying at once. And then you take something just like a clear sheet of plastic and you form it into kind of a pyramid shape minus the top, and you put that on top of your phone so that each one of the perspectives of the bird are being reflected up onto this sheet of plastic. And so as you turn your phone around looking at the reflection, it looks like you have a 3D bird flying there in midair. Does that make sense the way I described it there, Sam?
It's a little hard to convey over. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And so that's why, you know, I'll put this video for you at speakingofstrange.com so you have an even better idea of sort of what a conventional hologram is and how that it's really, you know, simple enough that you can make it yourself on your phone. But when it comes to holograms in general, what we're really talking about here is a way that you can view the universe that suddenly clicks in your brain so that you are able to change the universe with your thoughts, because, in fact, the universe around you is sort of, according to this theory, a bunch of holograms that are, to a certain extent, being projected from your brain. And so if you can change what's happening inside your brain, you can change the holograms and hence change the reality around you. So you can kind of look at it like this. Let's say you have an old film projector, and it's projecting an image on a screen. And you pause the image, and there's a woman on the screen. Now, you can go up to that screen, and you can draw a mustache on that woman with a magic marker. But it's not actually going to affect the image, because when you hit play again on the projector, it's just going to move on to some other image, and now you just have this random mustache there floating in the middle of everything. If you want to change it, you've actually got to go to the film cell inside the projector, and that's where you draw the mustache. And so it may be that what you are looking at around you as your reality is something that you can't really change if you think about changing it externally. Instead, you have to think about changing it internally, because that's where the interface is actually occurring between your reality and what's inside you. Or as one of my favorite authors, Dr. Joe Vitale, has said, if you see something negative, for example, in another person or a situation, and do not try to remedy it starting with your own perception, then, quote, that's like trying to put your makeup on
by looking in the mirror, but putting the makeup on the mirror, that's not going to help you, end quote. And so essentially what he is saying and what I'm suggesting here is that you might be able to make some profound changes in the reality around you by starting with changing the way that you see those things and imagine those things within your own mind. And there are some very simple, direct things that you can do, techniques that you can use in order to start changing that. And in fact, it's funny because we were talking some off the air about how it seems like that when you start having good luck, it turns into a string of good luck. Or if you start having bad luck, it turns into a string of bad luck. It's almost like that when you experience something that you perceive a certain way, that begins a snowball effect. And it's hard sometimes to break out of that chain reaction, out of that snowball effect, and try to sort of reverse the good luck, or excuse me, the bad luck, into good luck. And that's because that we have a tendency, when something bad happens to us, to let that get to us so deeply that we then continue to project a negative feeling or a negative expectation on the universe. And in doing that, what we are ensuring is that the universe continues reflecting that back to us until something can happen to help us switch gears. And so essentially, if you start to behave as if the universe is a conscious thing that you can influence and control, then the universe will start to behave as if it is a thing that you can influence and control. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to get very scientific for a little bit, and I'm going to tell you precisely what scientists mean when they talk about the holographic universe, and then we're going to move more into some specific things that you should do to help increase your chances of having the best year ever. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You'll find a link to them at speakingofstrange.com, or you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, and Speaking of Strange will be right back.
Blue skies from pain. Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail? A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
Slither while they pass, they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing. Nothing's gonna change my world. to wind inside a letterbox. They tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. Jack
thank you for spending your evening with us tonight. An anniversary show, about 12 years we've been on the air. This is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. We also want to throw a shout out to Christopher, our buddy over there who owns Christopher's Computers on Merriman Avenue in Asheville. And, you know, when I'm down here in Puerto Rico, you are brought to all of the wonders of our broadcast using technology provided by Christopher at Christopher's Computers. He's the best at what he does. He is a trusted friend, and I'm telling you, I know the guy, and Sam knows the guy, and he's top-notch. Sometimes when you get in trouble with computers, it becomes a little bit challenging, and you're not sure who to trust. Well, I'm giving you this heartfelt advice. You can call Christopher at Christopher's Computers at 828-670-9800. You can also go to christophers.computers.com. Again, that's 828-670-9800. And for your convenience, we'll have a link for you at speakingofstrange.com as well. We're talking this hour about making your life a little bit better using the holographic universe principle. And here's a statistic that I find absolutely fascinating. Of course, the great-grandfather of modern physics was Isaac Newton. And Newton, he ingeniously figured out all these principles that determine the way that bodies in space are supposed to behave, as well as bodies on Earth, based upon the sort of gravitational relationship that everything has. And his work was so effective that even today we still use his concepts of gravity and motion in many, many ways. But the truth is, as our technology has gotten better and better, and we've been able to look deeper into outer space than ever and see what all is actually out there, well, scientists discovered there was a little problem. The problem is that when you take Newton's theories alone and you apply them to all the stuff that we see out there, we realize that we don't actually see enough matter in the universe to explain why that all these bodies operate the way that they do. And so this has led into a lot of these conversations and theories and now sort of a scientific fact, really, that there is something we call dark matter or dark energy that fills this universe, and which, amazingly enough, is defined by the very fact that we don't know what it is. We cannot directly detect it or measure it. But we know it must be there because it's the only way we can make sense of how everything else is operating so smoothly. And when you start looking at the stats, it is estimated that the combined total of dark matter and dark energy out there, just from what we can see, makes up 95.1% of the total content of the universe. So let me just reiterate, we're talking about the most brilliant scientists out there who have the best budgets and the best tools are saying 95.1% of what we see out there is something that is an absolute mystery to us. We have no idea. So what they're really admitting is that we don't know what's going on here. And so within this 95-plus percent of mystery, we have this ability to sort of become very experimental with trying to see, well, what is out there and how much can we affect it? And one of these ideas is that the universe itself that we're able to perceive is a hologram, that essentially everything we see out there is like a glowing, glittering foam on the surface of this vast black ocean. We don't know what's in the ocean, but we think we can influence it some way with our own minds. And I'm going to get very scientific for a moment, and I promise you this is going to be a little confusing, but I want to give it to you just for the sake of accuracy. I have in front of me more or less the scientific definition of what the holographic universe principle is. And I'm just going to read some of this to you verbatim. Again, don't feel confused here, because you're probably not going to understand this. I don't even understand this all, and I'm reading it to you. But here's what scientists actually say in their own words. The holographic principle is a property of string theories and a supposed property of quantum gravity that states that the description of a volume of space can be thought of as encoded on a boundary to the region, preferably a light-like boundary like a gravitational horizon. First proposed by Gerard Hooft, it was given a precise string theory interpretation by Leonard Susskind. As pointed out, says Thorne observed in 1978 that string theory admits a lower dimensional description in which gravity emerges from it in what would now be called a holographic way. So in a larger sense, the theory suggests that the entire universe can be seen as a two-dimensional information structure painted on the cosmological horizon, such that three dimensions we observe are an effective description only at the macroscopic scales and at low energies. Would you like to condense that for us, Sam?
I don't even know. Right. Shelley, yeah. Go.
No, I don't think so.
Well, okay, look.
Macroscopic means bigger.
Bigger,
view.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So to me, okay, let's go back to the little example I gave you about how you can take your telephone, which has a two-dimensional screen on it, and it's a three-dimensional screen, but it produces two-dimensional images. And then you can turn that with the proper tools into a three-dimensional hologram. So it may be that somewhere connected to this world that we're all walking around in, there is a plane that is encoded with all of this kind of two-dimensional information, and that what we are seeing when we look right in front of ourselves at walls and trees and cars and that those are three-dimensional holographic projections. And so, therefore, the big question becomes, how easily might you be able to affect that code that is ultimately projecting everything else around you? Is it possible that within your world, and what I mean by your world is literally what you personally are experiencing around you, is there a way that you can take your mind to tap into that coding and alter it in a way so that it changes the projection around you? And I think that you can do this. And I'm going to give you some examples of why I think that and how I think it can be done. But we are going to take a break. And when we come back, for one thing, I'm going to ask Shelley, because she studies all kinds of different techniques for sort of helping people have better luck. I'm going to ask her what her advice would be to all of you if you want to try to change your holographic universe to something better this year for 2015. And then I'm going to tell you about some experiences that I've had using this and some very specific tips that I think will help you make 2015 the best year ever. This show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and I implore you to call Wright's Coin Shop and talk to Miss Shelley Wright at 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. You know, it's funny because this holographic universe topic, trying to use this to make your 2015 the best year ever for you. I believe this is also applied to how the wishing machine works. And, of course, if you don't know what the wishing machine is, well, it is what it sounds like it is. It's a machine that can make wishes come true. And if you go to wishingmachineproject.com, you can read about the wishing machine. You can watch videos. You can hear testimonies. You can read testimonies. And you can see why that the wishing machine has been such a powerful thing for people. I'm talking thousands of people in all cultures, all countries around the world. And wishingmachineproject.com is something that I started along with my colleague Dr. Mulder in order to try to figure out how this works. But, you know, Shelley Wright, you are a person that people frequently go to when they are seeking wisdom on how to switch bad luck into good luck. And I myself have always, you know, you're one of the first people I always contact when I have something important going on or I'm trying to manifest something positive. I say, Shelley, you know, you tap into the holographic universe. You seem to be very adept at this. And it works pretty much every time. I know that a lot of people contact you because of that. How would you describe what this process is like of tapping into the holographic universe?
Wow, that sounds very big and expansive and difficult, but it really isn't. I mean, it does come from within. It really is how you look at things, how you approach things, and one thing that I tell people is whether you think you can do something or you think you can't do something, you're right. So let's make sure that we can do something. We can do the things that we think are impossible. And once you get that mindset in there, then you can do things. And sometimes it's as easy as, for example, I told you recently that I wanted you to say or think to yourself, a miracle is going to happen today. And every time you thought about it, say it. Just remember that. Remember it throughout the day. And start looking for that, you know, because you're going to see some miracle that happens. And it may not be one, it may not be two, it may be a bunch of things. But the more you look for it, the more you'll find it, and the more it will happen. And I also like to say, do this for 21 days, because it takes 21 days to make something a habit. And if you are making it a habit to look for the good, then you're going to find the good. You're going to find all of the good. And it's also how you present yourself. If you feel like things are going to be good and they're going to be positive and that is what you project to the world, that's what you're going to get back. But if you're, you know, not positive and you're, you know, feeling unsure about things and you can't quite look people in the eye and, you know, people aren't really going to give much to you. They're not going to really give you their time. You're not really going to get anything good out of that.
It really kind of cuts to this thing called sympathetic resonance.
Yeah.
Did you say, Shelley?
Yeah.
What you project out will always come back to you.
Right. You really do create your own reality. I have one person that's been coming into the shop for years, and it's just their personality. Oh, I'll never be able to afford this. I'll never be able to do this. Okay, well, you're right. Okay, but if he were to say, oh, you know, this is what I'm working for. This is what I can do. You build upon things, and you just keep on building upon the good, and it becomes a snowball, and I would much rather say, you know, wow, I'm glad I did this. Maybe it didn't work out, but I'm glad I tried it. And rather than have regrets about not doing something.
And well, you know, I'll tell you an interesting experience that I had, because you're right, Shelley, when you're talking about how the mindset is important.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that once you start, again, as I said earlier, once you start behaving as if the world and the universe around you is a conscious thing that you can influence, it will begin to behave as if it is a conscious thing that you can influence.
Definitely.
And what you find is that even little things in your life will start to take on this incredible synchronicity. Here's a real brief story. I don't think I've told either of you guys this story. But this is just one example of kind of these, and I could go on and on and on with examples. But last fall, when I was in Asheville, I had a really intriguing experience, because 20 years ago, I was treated to a really big, nice, elaborate, celebratory dinner at the Grove Park Inn after I finished working on a big project. And one of the wines that we had really stood out for me. I'm a wine lover, and it was this French white wine that I particularly enjoyed. And I kept the cork. And so after that, from time to time, Lauren would say something like, oh, you know, what would you like for me to get you as a gift for one thing? And I would say, well, see if you can find me a bottle of this wine. And she could never locate it. Every time she would go to a wine store, it was out of stock, it was unattainable. It was never a big deal, but it was just one of those things like, you know, finally after 20 years, it occurs to you like, man, this must be a really difficult wine to come by. So last fall, here I am in Asheville. I'm driving down the road. I look over and I see that this wine shop that I'd never seen before had opened, but it was closed. And when I saw that, immediately the thought popped into my mind, I would really like to have a bottle of that French white wine. I don't know why it's eluded me all these years, but I really am going to, like, make this happen. I'm going to find this damn bottle of wine, right? So about 10 minutes later, I walked into the lobby of a hotel where I was staying, because when I do tours in Asheville, I'm in downtown Asheville very late. And so instead of having to drive to my place in Alexander frequently, I'll get a hotel close to downtown. So I go into the lobby of this hotel because I needed to talk to the front desk lady about something. And she says to me, sort of out of the blue, oh, by the way, a guy was just in here saying that he just opened up a new wine shop right down the road here. And would you want his info? And I said, yeah. So she gives me the info, and I see that the place is only going to be open 15 more minutes that day. So I get in my car. I drive over there. We go inside. Lauren and I are the only customers. Nice place, though. We're walking around, and I hear this voice, Joshua Warren. I turn around. Here's this guy that I don't recognize, and he comes up to me, and I said, do I know you? And he goes, well, you probably don't remember me, but I remember you. I said, yeah, why is that? He goes, 20 years ago, I was your waiter when you had this dinner at the Grove Park Inn. And I said, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. I said, do you remember the wine we had that night? And he says, I sure do. It's right over here. Takes me 10 feet away. Here is the wine that I had 20 years before. I bought that wine and was amazed about what happened. Took it to my hotel room, chilled it, drank it, and I was just in awe with every sip at how quickly I had manifested this. Now, is this a life or death experience? Of course not. But it's just one of those examples of how once you sort of start getting into the flow of things and you start feeling that the universe is something that you can sort of communicate with, then even subliminally, you'll start to see these things happen. I just had an experience 2 days ago. There's a restaurant here in Puerto Rico that always had this really big, cool map on the wall that was very nicely illustrated, and it was probably like a 30-year-old map, and I could never find a copy of this map, and I admired it so much that I would always bring my guests there to see it. You even saw it, Shelley, when you were down here. And I walked in there 2 days ago, and I saw this map was off the wall, and it was sitting outside near the garbage area, like they were going to trash it. And I said, hey, can I buy that from you? And the owner says, you can have it, take it. So now it's on my wall. Strange how these things happen, but so organized. When we come back from this break, I'm going to give all of you some specific tips that you can use to start transforming your life from maybe creating bad luck to good luck. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. Next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. And that's when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news and content, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So you may or may not want to stick around for the last hour of the show, hour three, but you have been warned. We're talking this hour about the holographic universe and how that you can influence it in order to make 2015 the best year ever for you. And I'll give you some basic tips here right now. For one thing, let me say this for the fourth or fifth time this hour. If you begin to behave as if the universe is something that you can change and influence with your mind and thoughts, it will begin to behave as if it is something that you can influence with your mind and thoughts. That may seem very New Agey. And it may seem, you know, very hooey, if you want to use that word. But in fact, it's good, solid, proven science. It's a part of the fact that for every action, there's an equal but opposite reaction. And so, when you wake up every day, that's where it begins. It's important for you to take time to vocalize things. And what I try to do is pretend that the entire universe is an individual that I'm trying to court or impress. And so the same things that you would say to somebody you respected or somebody that you wanted to flatter are things that you should say to the universe. You should say, thank you to the universe for all the good things that you have, no matter how small they may seem. And you should say, I love you to the universe. Now, as you know, that, again, that may seem crazy, but you just start doing that and see what happens. It's especially important to do it when something bad happens in your life. Because if something bad happens to you and that makes you start feeling negative, well, then you start sending those negative vibes out into the holographic universe, and now you're producing a negative universe all around you. So the worse things have gotten, the more important it is that you do this to reverse it. And what's funny about it is it's really not dishonest to do this because it's true. We get so distracted by all the advertising and all the news stories and all the things happening that bring us stress and try to make us feel that we don't have enough, that we need more, that the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we let all that stuff distract us from the good things around us. And no matter what state you're in right now, you've got things to be very grateful for compared to everybody else on this planet. I mean, if you've got electricity, that's something to be thankful for. If you've got both of your eyes working and your ears working and your legs and your arms working, whatever health that you do have working is something that you should be grateful for. If you've got food in your belly and you're not hungry, if you've got a roof over your head, every little thing that you have that you can be thankful for is important, because if you project into the holographic universe an attitude of gratitude for the things that you have, then what that will actually create is a flow of more things for which you will be grateful. If, on the other hand, you are constantly sending out negative vibes because you're focusing on the negative things, well, guess what? The same exact thing will happen, because you are reshaping what's around you to match the negative thoughts that you have. And so it begins with that relationship that you have with the universe in general. And frankly, it doesn't matter if you believe there is a God. It doesn't matter if the universe is actually some kind of a conscious being. If you treat it as if it is a conscious being that wants you to actually have a better life, it will behave that way. And this is how that we influence everything cyclically as creators of our own reality. Now, does that mean you're going to be able to change everything? Of course not. We all have certain, you know, natural laws that we're limited to. We're not going to be able to fly like Superman or live forever. But there is an incredible amount of flexibility that you can have access to. But you have to vocalize that, and you should do it as often as possible every day. If there is a moment that you remember, I need to stop and pause and be grateful and to say, ah, I love you, and be thankful to the universe. You just do that and see how quickly everything changes for you. It'll get to the point to where you don't even necessarily have to wish specifically for what you want. It will just sort of be provided there for you because you are being a positive, respectful, grateful person. And this is the key to making 2015 the best year ever. We've got to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for, yes, the Dark 30 Hour. We pride ourselves in calling this the show that takes you to the very summit of humankind's enlightenment and then the pit of our depravity. Well, we've taken you as close to the summit as we can. Now we're digging into the pit. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, and it's called Speaking of Strange.